Hello and welcome to the Awesome Comics Podcast. It's episode 152 and I'm your host, Vince Hunt. Now, normally, my compatriots Dan Butcher, Tony Esmond and I would do a bit of comic rambling. But over the past couple of weeks, we've taken the Awesome Pod on the road and visited a couple of events, would you believe? We got a bunch of interviews while we were out and about, so we thought we'd put that audio together for you all this week. Now, first up is a couple of interviews that Tony and I managed to get when we went to Lawgiver Mark 4 this year. It was our first time at the show and a great event all round, but rather than listening to me rant on about it, here's some audio for your drocking ears. Okay, me and Tony are here with Sue, the organiser of Lawgiver 4. Have you been the organiser for all the previous ones as well?
Yeah, I started at Lawgiver 1 in Birmingham, 2014, 13, something like that, yeah.
Okay. Birmingham?
I missed a year last year, so.
That was to do with their 40th, wasn't it?
The 2080 40th anniversary last year. So
did you go to that?
No, I didn't.
No.
I couldn't afford the £70 ticket and the £100 hotel fee for two of us and the transport there, and yeah.
Yeah, same was good.
It was, yeah. I heard it was very, very good. Yeah.
And I think you feel that hole, don't you? Where don't laugh. I said feel the hole. He laughed.
Freezing.
Because they had that the year, but they're not doing any more, are they?
So I don't know. So I don't.
I think it's a one-off. But I mean, this event is certainly something that is specifically 2000 AD and Judge Dredd. For those who don't know what Lawgiver is, what actually is the event?
So Lawgiver is a celebration of Dredd. It's the UK's only Judge Dredd convention. It literally started because I happened to know a whole bunch of guys who dress as judges, and it just got bigger from there. And as I say, we were talking earlier, it's a community event, so it's word of mouth and it's very, very based around community. Everybody comes here because they know each other, so they all get to dress up and chat to each other and catch up with each other. But also it's very, very intimate with the artists and the writers who get involved with Dredd as well. So you get to meet them up close and personal, spend some good time with them. You're not rushed off your feet to go into the next place or anything like that at all.
We've been here about an hour now and all we've done is spoke to two people. And it's just been a good giggle.
Yeah,
that's how it should be.
Yeah, I like that level of convention, to be fair. I don't like the big MCM cons where it's just a massive marketplace and you're waiting in queues for hours on end.
So essentially, you're paying to get in to buy stuff.
Yeah.
You're paying to get in to
have an experience.
The talks are great as well. Yeah.
Cool. No, I'm glad you enjoyed the talks.
The whole organisation from it, like the schedule that you've got laid out and the little brochure that goes with it is. It's top notch, actually. You don't get a lot of the big
that
shows.
That's the first time for us this year. So the money that we make from each event goes towards next year's event. So any profit that we make literally sits in a pot in the bank account towards next year's event. And we knew we did very well from the off from this event because of the 40th anniversary last year. So we got a lot of word got spread. Yeah. So we automatically had a great deal more interest than we had previously.
Okay.
Which gave us automatically the budget to be able to work on stuff like. So Zarjaz came along and approached us and said, we really want to be able to do something with you on a program, so we got a custom Zarjaz program made just for the event. This is amazing.
They're good guys, aren't they? I've done some stuff
with
dog
yeah
really
we've,
nice
ne- we've never met before. We met for the first time today and it was just like, dude, cool. How you doing? It's really, really awesome. So that was good.
So what are you looking forward to at the event personally as a fan?
I love meeting all the artists, so that's really good for me, and I just enjoy organising it, and they're friends of mine, so there's people here I only see once or twice a year, so I catch up with them, and it's good.
How
seeing everyone.
How do you
everyone.
Find that, like splitting the socialising, as it were, with the organisers?
It's a big social event.
It is a big social event. So the way I've done it this year is we didn't stop over last night because I can't be dealing with a hangover trying to organise events at 8 in the morning. It's just not going to happen. So we're stopping over tonight, so we're actually doing an after party this year, which we're not. Done. And it's literally, let's go to the pub. I'm not going to, we don't do anything major special, but it is just an excuse. Yeah. And again, all the artists get involved because they just like enjoying, that's what they enjoy doing. So literally we crowd everyone to the pub and go and enjoy ourselves at the end of the evening. And that's where I socialise at the end of the day. That's the chance for me to say hello to everyone.
Exactly. The 40th reminded me a bit like old, I'm very old, so old comic events in the UK, which were just basically in a bar.
Oh, right,
you know,
yeah.
And I get that feeling, especially from, well, I stayed here last night.
Yeah.
I get that feeling from the bar last night as well. Yeah. It's that sort of heavy drinking, having a laugh.
The sort of template for it I've blatantly stolen. So I go to another convention in October called BristolCon, which is a big writers' convention because I'm a writer. So I go to all that kind of stuff. And so BristolCon used this event, and I know the organisers, so they put me in touch with the hotel guys. And I've essentially stolen their template. So the panel rooms are the same. We do a traders' room. We do the, you know, we've got a specific art room that they BristolCon have got. So we, it's a layout that works. And so I was just like, yeah, we can do that. We'll just do it for Dread.
We had a table at a comic convention here 2 years ago.
Yeah.
The last BristolCon Comic Con.
Oh, cool.
Comic Expo was there as well. It's a great venue. Yeah. And it's kind of the home of comics for a long time in England, is this hotel, because they had Bristol here for many, many years, didn't
they? They do the big thought bubble up in Leeds, don't they?
They do that.
I know. I've not.
Sort of
I've not been to that one, but I know it's huge these days, and that's a big networking sort of opportunity as well.
Yeah. And in terms of like the organisation, do you have much communication with other sort of organisers, or you know, getting tips?
Not for any particular reason. So it's literally just grown from me organising. I hate them. Bastards.
We don't like people either.
No, it's just literally because it's grown from a small event, and I've just got to know more people around it. So I know McAuliffe organises the Cardiff Comic Con. So she helps me out, kind of thing, and that's really, really great, because she knows organising, but a lot of it is online work, to be fair. So it's 6 months work from start to finish, and a lot of it is just communicating and networking online and
getting the word out.
I will say the communication is very good.
That's awesome.
Sometimes you email an organiser or like and you're waiting for a long time.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
No, it's good to know.
Sounds good. So okay then, it's a Dread show.
Yes.
You're obviously a Dread fan.
I'm a Tank Girl fan. Again, like I said, so I'm a big Tank Girl fan. Yeah, I'm a big. So again, this came out of my love of conventions and going to cosplay and happening to know lots and lots of judges. My Dread knowledge is appalling, I can't be honest. So
I'm with you.
Better.
I'm absolutely
it's
with you.
It's better because obviously I know all these guys that have come along and everything, so I'm definitely more aware of these.
Do you find that it's inspired you to find out more about Dread?
Yeah, you do. You go and buy the comics and you see it everywhere. Yeah. And what was it? My job I work at, a chap sent in a photo of his vehicle. It's got Rogue Trooper on the side. I was like, I know what that is now.
It's got such a rich history. There's so much to go to.
And it's been going for so long. Yeah, it's really great to get involved with
it. I think that's quite a key thing, that like, even though people might think, oh, it's a Judge Dredd show, I can honestly say those are the sort of shows that people that might know Dredd should go to.
The niche shows, again, it's something interesting that other people can get involved with.
You have catered for stuff that people may not...
Definitely, there's definitely a niche there that you're catering for that people are going to get involved in and spread their word and tell their friends and you get more people coming along. You're promoting something.
It seems really chilled out. You seem really quite calm.
I'm doing all right at the moment. I'm really hungry. I need some food.
Somebody get this woman some food.
Yeah.
Somebody.
I'm going to have to do the pizza run in a minute, I think.
But we know a lot of our listeners are 2008
Deers. Excellent. Get them to come along next year.
So who you've got your eye on for next year? Any guests you'd like to get?
Is it going to be a surprise announcement at the end of the day, because there are going to be changes in the works.
Okay.
So there will be an event next year, and I will be detailing more about what's happening next year at the end of the day. Exclusive.
I was going to ask for an exclusive, because this is obviously going to go out after the day.
Is it?
You ain't going to get it. Look at it. She's playing a cardball.
Only because there's not much to say, to be fair.
Any guests you've got your eye on you'd like to get?
Well, as a Tank Girl fan, I really want Alan Martin and Jamie Hewlett. But so next year the plan is we're going to open it out to British comics, essentially. So we're going to rebrand it and rename it. And due to varying reasons, we're going to need to rebrand it. We can't continue to call it Lawgiver.
You need any help? We're right up for it.
Yeah, we might have a chat.
You heard that, listeners. There's a lot of our listeners who are quite enthusiastic about comics.
Bristol Comic Con is coming back, I think, but under a different name.
Talk in a minute.
For now, go and get some lunch.
And nicely done.
Nicely done.
I'm here with Dave Broughton. Dave.
How are you doing, Nathan?
Hello, dude. All right. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, good. A couple of questions for you. Firstly, have you become a hipster because you've grown quite a big beard?
Yeah, sorry about that. I had to keep in with the fashion, so. Slave to fashion.
And secondly, Slaughterhawk. And it's launching today, doesn't it? We're at Lawgiver, for the people who don't know. It's launching today, is it?
It's an exclusive preview today. Okay. The launch is actually going to be at ICE in Birmingham on September the 15th. The reason I'm launching it today is because obviously I'm a small press publisher, and obviously I can't have the money that went into printing it sitting around for 3 to 4 months. So I'm just doing a limited preview, and I'm going to be doing a lot of extra stuff for the launch in September, so it's basically it will make it worthwhile for them.
So obviously we're buddies, so I've seen a few little sketches of this as you've gone along. It looks superb, mate, really, really good. So what's the idea behind it?
I wanted to do a superhero story.
Right.
I wanted to do a dystopian future, and I really wanted to say something about low-skill workers as well. But okay. I wanted to have fun with it as well. I wanted to have fun. So basically, he is basically fighting for low-skilled workers and dispossessed of this future world.
Which is kind of in keeping with a lot of 2000 AD, isn't it?
There's no getting away with it. I'm a big 2000 AD fan. Yeah. A lot of my stuff would probably settle well inside there.
As we keep telling them. We keep telling them that, don't we?
Yes, yeah.
So this is the first of an ongoing, is it?
Yeah, the first one is 52 pages, full colour. Yeah. It's a self-contained story, but there will be further stories, people like it.
And you've done it in the old sort of, for people who can't see it or haven't got a copy, it's kind of in the old Dark Knight Returns format, isn't it? It's the sort of prestige format. So it does have a spine on it, so it would fit on a shelf, but it's a comic size, if you see what I mean.
Yeah,
small trade, I suppose.
Yes, absolutely. It's basically, I think the printers call it perfect bound. Bound, and then obviously you have the staples. I thought I'd go for that sort of prestige format with it. Basically, it's just nice. It's just nice holding. I mean, Martillo was published in the same sort of way, but this time I thought, no, definitely going to go the full colour route. After looking at Porcelain and absolutely beautiful publications like that,
definitely. You coloured it yourself, did you?
I've done absolutely everything in it myself. Yeah. The only things I haven't done was copy proof it. I had a friend help me with that. And obviously I had a few other friends read it through for continuity, just to make sure that things that I wanted to happen in it were coming across okay. So, you know, I've been listening to you guys. I've been doing it for a little while now, and obviously that's a really good thing to do if you're publishing your own comics.
Yeah, mate, it's lovely. I mean, just looking through it now, and I have seen you've sent me a few of the odd page, haven't we? Secretly, we've had a look at the odd page, and it is fucking brilliant. It's a great action book as well,
you'll
mate.
Like you'll like that bit there.
Oh, will I? Okay, right. I'll leave that to you later.
Don't ruin that.
Well, okay, right, good, mate. Well, and what's next? So you and I have got a thing bubbling. We've done. And what's the next project? Because you've always got something on the go.
I just finished script work for Shaman Kane 4.
Love Shaman Kane.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, mate.
Brilliant.
I didn't do any last year because I was working on this and a load of other projects.
We did our Silver Surfer comic.
Silver Surfer was there, yeah.
Yeah. That's great fun, mate. I absolutely love doing that. And it's great because you almost surprised me by printing it, didn't you? You said, let's do this for fun. Let's do one. And then we did it. And then you said, I'll print a few. We can't sell them. Just give them away to friends and stuff. And it was like the best experience. And you did it in about 8 days as well.
Yeah, I think it was 10 days total. It was about 7 days to draw it. And about
20-page comic.
And about 3 days to the letter, colour and whatever. But, I mean, you know, obviously I modified my art style to take it in and that.
Yeah, and we did it. We went about it in a strange way, didn't we? Because we lowered the number of panels per page.
Yes.
And do you know what, though? A lot of comics are like that now, aren't they? You know.
Well, I think, you know, at the end of the day, again, without wanting to sound like the old backslapping like club here, I mean, your script was very, what's the word? Basically, you trimmed all the fat off of it. It was an interesting read, and I really responded to that actually with drawing it. It actually made my job of basically drawing it a lot easier, you know. And obviously then I could have fun and put the extra details in when needed.
And it's good that we're doing it just for fun. Do you remember when we just used to do it for fun and we didn't worry? Do you remember those days?
I think it was that, yeah. And I think our conversation started off actually on that, you know, let's have a bit of fun and do this, you know, so, yeah.
But I'll tell you, mate, Slaughterhawk, to me, it's like another step up. This looks fucking amazing. Great colour work as well, mate. And I love the grey-blue tone you've got for the costume. Look, and you, totally your design and everything, was it?
Yeah, it is. And again, once you read Slaughterhawk, I could change that because of the way the character's situated and structured. I could probably even change the suit if I wanted to. Find out more if you read.
Yeah, I should be reading this on a train home. Nice one. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, you're welcome, Tony.
Right, just been to... What's it called again? Lawgiver.
Lawgiver, Mark 4.
Are we going to complain about how tired we are?
We usually do, but no, I think we're...
I feel fresh. We've had lunch and everything.
Yeah.
Just met Eamon from Mega City Comics podcast.
Yeah.
It's a good egg. Just had a coffee with Josh.
Yeah.
That was good. And Iz. And Richard McAuliffe.
Yeah.
Who else did we see? So, Dan Cornwall from Rock of the Reds. Saw his art, didn't we?
Oh, yes, God, yeah. We need to get him on the show properly, actually, at some point. We had a good chat. I got a print from him.
He did, didn't you?
Yeah.
Who were those other prints you got from?
That was Ryan Brown.
Oh, wasn't it?
Yeah. amazingly talented artists. We've got some. Yeah, I just need to freshen up my studio wall. So don't laugh, Tony. Yeah. So yeah, it's great artists. It was busy all day. Half the time we wanted to talk to people and we couldn't because there was a line.
There was. Yeah,
yeah, huge line.
And we paid 40 odd quid to the raffle and I won once.
But it was all for a good cause, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
It was the ongoing organisation. I mean, I will say the organisation was good.
Yeah, it was really good.
They had some great panels, which I can tell were packed out all throughout the day because you would see it get quieter as the
and Mike McMahon and Ian Gibson, you couldn't get close to them.
Bisley, you couldn't get close to. Same with Glenn Fabry.
Yeah,
they're all there. So obviously highly recommended. Stay tuned for more details about next year's. Show. We've heard some interesting and exciting things about that.
And we put our hats in the ringtail bout.
Yep. So you might hear even more about that because we like to talk about ourselves far too much.
And now on to Cardiff.
Yes, Cardiff.
Next week.
Although this episode is actually happening after Cardiff.
Is that it? Oh, right.
Yeah. So, we had a lovely day. And, I'd highly recommend events like this if there's one in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
Yeah,
really,
it was
good sort
really good.
It felt a bit like an old school convention to me, like from the 80s or something. It was nice.
Yeah, it was a captive audience and everyone was there for the same reason. And it was good. It was really good. So, Lawgiver was a success. Big thumbs up. And, now we're going to ride off into the sunset.
I'm going to have to sleep on the train.
Of course you are.
And get a sort of slight boner whilst the train moves along just to embarrass people next to me.
Oh, does that happen to you often?
It's happening now.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed that batch of audio there. Now it's time to buckle up, because next up is a batch of interviews we managed to get at Cardiff Independent Expo 2018. It was another amazing independent show where the focus is all on comics. This year was no different, and we're not making complete fools of ourselves. Me and Tony managed to get this batch of audio. So sit back, put your feet up, well, unless you're driving, then for God's sake don't do that, and just check this little lot out.
Hello, and it is June the 2nd, 2018, and myself and Tony Esmond.
Yep.
We are at Cardiff Independent Comics Expo. And the doors are just about to open to the wider public. We've had the pre-book.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We've sold a couple of issues.
We've sold a few already.
Yeah,
very excited, aren't we? It's launch day.
Yeah, the launch day of issue two, which we're very excited about.
We are. I bought a comic about Jizz from Bryony Evans.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
And I've already got all the books from John Tucker, as well as some chocolate.
Yeah, and
I've
done an interview with him.
Yeah.
About to do an interview with him.
Yeah, but look, don't ruin the magic.
Fucking magic. Yeah, you're right, I won't.
So, hopefully we'll get a bit of audio today, get a few interviews. There's some great creators here today.
Yeah.
And we'll probably do a bit of shopping as well. So stay tuned.
We tried to do shopping about 10 minutes ago. We made it about five steps over there before you started hugging everyone.
No, I'll hug everyone. I'm the hugger. You know this. I have loving arms.
You bought chocolate lollipops.
I am indeed. And comics.
Yeah.
Which is all you need in life.
Yeah, is it?
But yeah, we're going to try and get some interviews. And I'm going to try and survive the day with Tony Esmond. So enjoy the next bit of audio for you. And then there'll probably be a bit at the end where we talk about how tired we are.
Yeah.
Because we're old men, aren't we?
Yep. I've still got my room key. Shall I lay down?
Oh, well, actually, never mind the convention. Let's do it now.
Yeah, okay. I'm here with John Tucker. This is our first interview at SICE. And your second ever convention, John, yeah?
Yes, that's right, yeah. First one was True Believers, which was a couple of months ago. And this is the second one, so...
Everyone's talking about your roulette wheel of death. Is it that what it's called, or...?
Death roulette, yeah. Because I used to do something similar to this when I was at university in Manchester. Myself and my housemate would go on chat roulette when it first started.
Right, okay.
And I would just hold up a sign saying, I'll draw whatever you request, you know?
Okay.
This was back when chat... Oh, God, it started.
We're declaring it's open.
That's right.
It's exciting, isn't it?
We can cut this out. That's a showbiz term.
It probably won't be done to do that.
That's right. It doesn't matter. I think it's just the fire safety. So back when chat roulette first became a thing, before it was just like low bitrate videos of people tugging it at night.
That's for us. A little round of applause for us. Yeah.
That was an applause for that line. I would just take drawing requests from people there. So I wanted to offer something that was like on the spot at these convention things, mainly to prove that I could draw.
Okay.
And I thought this was probably the best way to do it. So yeah, it's just it's a very small plastic roulette wheel. There's 37 modes of death, and yeah, so for £5 you can have a unique portrait of yourself. Riding a bike through piano wire or frozen inside a glacier or...
Oh, so you run it through and then you can describe... So what it comes up with is how you're going
to
die.
Yeah, exactly. All the numbers correspond to an improbable mode of death. Yeah, so that's just a...
Just a little... some of them out. Let's see what they are.
Yeah,
what have we got there?
We'll give away the farm, like, but if you go...
Yeah, okay. Watching cursed VHS.
Yeah.
Melted by corrosive waste. Talk to Vince Hunt for an hour and pull your own eyeballs out. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, there we are.
My favourite one is that one. So what have you got today? So Bald is a book I very much enjoyed.
Oh, thank you.
I really like it, which took sort of baldness to another level, really, didn't it?
It really did, yeah. I really feel like it's one of the sort of flagship comics about baldness in the UK at the minute. No, it's just, like, a lot of the comics I write are sort of like, they sort of use the voice that I associate with, like, men of my father's generation.
Okay.
You know, because I'm from, like, a small village just outside of Cardiff, and there's that sort of, like, dry, oh, can you believe this has happened to me kind of thing about, no matter what it is, it could be like, you know, oh, would you believe it? I've been bloody sentenced to death in Saudi Arabia. Oh, what a bloody, can you believe it? Do you know what I mean? Like, anything bad that happens to people there is just, oh, God, I can't believe it. So, you know, I think that's very funny. I think that's, like, a very Welsh way of looking at the world.
So very laconic.
Yeah. And it's something I wasn't really seeing a lot of it, like, in comics. There's a lot of, like, really talented Welsh comic producers, obviously, but I think when you make an indie comics and literally, like, the only limit is your imagination, the temptation to draw, like, impossible worlds must be very strong. And not to toot my own horn, but I have resisted that temptation almost completely. I have drawn nothing fantastical or magical. It's all just
someone with a see-through head.
People who are very, very bald to the point of being see-through, and they end up running a cult by accident.
Now, there's a little obsession with hair, because what's the story about the lighthouse, and they keep spotting a man doing pubic hair?
Yeah, Night Watch is a story about a lighthouse keeper who, you know, hasn't got as much to do as he maybe did in the 60s and 70s, and, you know, maybe comes to the end of his career and finds that there's a beauty salon in town that's been dumping pubic hair into the bay and keeps going all over his truck. And he decides to exact revenge in a way that he deems fit.
It's a metaphor for robots taking over our lives, I think. It's
essentially, yes, yeah. No, I really like Bald. No, it's not Bald, sorry, Night Watch. It was good fun. And, like, my worry is always that people are going to guess the endings of my comics, but I've been told that's not a valid concern.
It becomes quite violent towards the end, isn't it?
It does get quite violent towards the end, yeah. But egregiously so, some might say. But, you know, yeah. But, no, it was good fun.
No, really fun, mate. Yeah. So what have you got next? You've got planning at the moment?
I'm working on the minute. I'm working on my first sort of, like, longer form work called The Floating Hand. The first chapter of that's up on my website at the minute. The second chapter is going to be up. Maybe by the time this goes out, depending if it goes out tonight, obviously won't be ready. Won't be ready by Monday. Have a look back in a week. If you listen to this on Monday, have a look back in a week.
Okay.
The Floating Hand is about a sort of a father and daughter farm operation who are pressed to deal with, like, a new kind of cattle rustler. Because, like, I love writing about Wales, and I love writing about, like, sort of, like, regular people encountering difficult problems, but I'm also a big fan of B movies and, you know, that kind of thing, and spaghetti westerns. So I wanted to do something that was a bit in that vein, and The Floating Hand is in that style. So, I mean, at the moment I've done all these, like, one shots, these, like, ridiculous one shots. So I wanted to try my hand at something, like, a bit longer and a bit, give you a bit of time to get to know the people in it, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So so that's in progress at the minute. I'm hoping to have that out. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, like, I think self-publishing is, like, you know, it's a luxury. If you can afford to do it, it's a luxury, obviously. Like, but to me, it's a far more interesting way to go. If you can do it, it's a far more interesting way to go, because there's always the risk that, like, am I going to have 100 of these in a year's time? Am I going to have to, am I going to have to donate them to Poundland?
We've all got the boxes in our loft, haven't we?
Yeah, I've got a couple already. I've been doing this 2 years. So I've got a couple of boxes in the loft. But, I will be self-publishing, and hopefully we'll be doing for the time being. I mean, I say there's like, if Drawn and Quarterly come knocking tomorrow, then
yeah, that'd be perfect.
You won't see me for dust, but you know, but no, I'd like to self-publish for as long as I can, you know, because it is good fun. Like when I was living, you know, when I was a student in Manchester, like there was all this like weird like zine culture-y thing, so I was putting comics out even when I was living there, and you know, there was just something I think really rewarding about, you know, just putting together these weird little things that nobody has asked you for. And that's the other really good thing about small press and self-publishing is, you know, if you're like a screenwriter and you want to put a movie out, well, you put your movie script together, but then you've got to get it through the gauntlet, you've got to get it through the executives and that, right?
It's a business, it is a crime.
Yeah, exactly. And if they don't like it, that's the end of it. No one ever sees it, right? Yeah. But if I produce a comic and nobody likes it, well, it's too late. I've already put it out. I won. You know what I mean? Oh, I don't like the comic. Too late. It already exists.
Yeah.
I win. Yeah. You know, yeah, in a set. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of really confrontational, aren't I?
So, it's fair to say your comics are available to be read mostly online, aren't they? Some of them are you can go to.
Yeah.
Urge you to buy them. Yeah. Where can you get comic copies of Bald and that sort of?
Well, everything I've done so far, you can read online at johntucker.co.uk. That's John with an H, and yeah, you can buy print copies from the website if you're so inclined. I mean, I think it's good to have them available for people to read, just to get a sense of like if you're a good fit for them. And like I got into comics because I liked Gun Show by Casey Green so much, which was a weirdo little web comic that I mention anytime I'm interviewed. But it was like, to me, it was the best work of the best like body of work of any comic artist living or dead. And it was so weird and horrible and sweet and funny, like everything. Like you could, I think you can see a lot of Gun Show influence in my work as it is, you know, but all of that is still, you know, he made print copies, but it was all just available to read anyway, so I think that's, you know, I think it helps if you can have it up for people to look at. So yeah, johntucker.co.uk if anybody wants to.
Are you on Twitter?
I am at johntuckerart on Twitter. I've got the at John Tucker account, but that's my private Twitter, which I can't be bothered to tidy up for public consumption.
Yeah.
So John Tucker Art on Twitter is me. Yeah, so, and that's probably the best way to get in touch.
I know I've not heard of you before when I discovered it.
No, you wouldn't have.
Completely converted. Love
thank
your
you.
Stuff. Really good, mate. Yeah,
thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
Okay, I am here with the one and only Nick Angel, who's been on the show before, as you know, and he's mostly known for Seven String.
Is very true.
Which is a hugely popular part of the Big Punch Studios universe.
Canon, if you will. Yes.
But yes, but the thing that's sort of blowing a lot of people's minds at the moment and has sort of taken over your life and indeed your table is the strip Cat and Meringue.
Yeah.
Now, for those who, like, we've got a lot to talk about this, but for those who don't know what Cat and Meringue is, go on.
Okay. Well, it's the story of a cat and a meringue who sail around their world in a catamaran, which, for those who don't know, is a twin-hulled boat. So that's very funny, as you can tell. It's a very funny joke.
Is it one of those, you thought that, that'd be funny?
No, it's much funnier than that. It's there we go.
And then you decided to draw it.
Yeah, so yeah. The first strip, if you can call it that, was just one panel, and I just drew a cat and a meringue in a twin-hulled boat and made a joke about the fact that they didn't know what to call this boat. And I thought that was hilarious, and that was it. That was going to be the end of it.
Yeah.
And then I drew another one.
And that was just for you, wasn't it?
That was, like I drew it, I think I put it on a bit of lined paper while I was at work. Like, it just popped into my head, and I thought it was hilarious. And then I sort of drew another one. And drew another one. And then after a while, I sort of thought, oh, I know, I could make this into my little personal art challenge. Like, I'll draw one of these strips every single day. It's just a black and white, like, newspaper funny style strip.
Yeah.
Draw one every day. It'll always be a joke or a pun or a gag of some kind. And it'll just be my challenge to have drawn something every day.
Yeah.
And then it became something that people started caring about online and were reading.
So it was a web comic.
It was when I was serializing it. Yeah, I was just putting it up on my... I made a little WordPress site for it. And people were just like, people were just really getting into it and asking questions about what they were up to and who they were and stuff. And so it just started to grow.
And I know certainly you even mixed up, like you had some photo strips in there with pictures of you interacting with the characters.
Yeah, I almost saw it as a playground, like a comics playground. Like, what can I get away with? Like, what rules can I break and bend? Like, I had scenes where they broke out of panel borders and water, because they wanted to see, obviously, was leaking out the sides of panels. And then they were exploring the world around panels. And then they eventually come out into the real world and meet me, and they hate me because of all the stuff I've done for them. So, yeah, it became very much like a comic about making comics, or a comic about what you can do with comics, kind of, for me anyway.
But you also, the central core of it, you've got two funny little characters
yeah.
that people really latched onto. And this eventually led to, I think, one of the first times I discovered it was your first Kickstarter for the collection,
yeah.
which was the hardcover book of 1,000 Days of Adventure, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so basically I ended up doing 1,000 strips, 1,000 daily strips.
Which by itself...
I mean, that's the best part of 3 years.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm very proud of that achievement. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I did a Kickstarter to collect that into one massive like coffee table hardback tome. Yeah. And that was a huge success.
Great book.
I'm so happy, yeah, because it was with people who'd never seen it before, like not the webcomic fans. They supported it, but then it went further than that.
And there's those, like, for instance, I like a webcomic.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's hard to keep track of them.
True.
Whereas I could just have a book and then I'm just flicking through it however I want.
And that was the kind of joy of it, I think, because it was like, this is all of it. Yeah. Like, from the very beginning to the end of that story, which was essentially their origin story, that's it. And you can buy that and have it all. It's kind of like, you know, I was really attracted to the special edition Calvin and Hobbes collected edition that came out.
Oh, yeah.
That was in that amazing sleeve. And it's sort of like this knowledge of knowing you have... basically all of it is a really cool feeling, because I used to love Calvin and Hobbes so much. I had all these little volumes here and there, but now I've got this beautiful collection, and I kind of wanted to do the same thing, like put it all in one place.
And you essentially thought, I guess, that was it, that was done.
Yeah.
That was a period on it, and then you could move on, because obviously Big Punch Studios, Seven Stringer stuff was moving forward.
We had a lot of other titles in mind. I was working on a lot of other comics. Yeah.
And, but this is definitely the title that just won't go away, isn't it?
It
really is. Because then... It's come back. I see now you've got a soft cover printed version of 1,000 Days of Adventure.
Absolutely, off the back of the Kickstarter success,
But not only this, and we're leading to the upcoming Kickstarter in a minute, I look at this table and I'm seeing, I mean, these two characters, when you see them, folks, there's badges, there's stickers, there's mugs, there's beanie hats.
Beanie hats,
which got my eye on. you know, there's prints, there's so much sort of merch, which is totally in keeping with the character. But now you've decided to take it up a notch, because I noticed when you had them on your table before, you had homemade, sort of soft, plush versions of the characters.
Yeah.
And these were really well made.
They were lovely. Yeah, they were made by my wife, Alice. Yeah. And we made them as high Kickstarter tier rewards for the book, when we made the hardcover book. But there was only a handful of them made, because Ali had to make them all.
It's hard work.
Yeah.
But now you've decided to take the game to the next level and have proper plushy soft toys,
manufactured soft toys,
and that's, you've got Kickstarter now at the moment as
it's
we speak
running right now. We're about a third of the way in, we've got about a third of our funding, so it's looking good at the minute.
So what inspired you to think, right, this is the thing? You know, there's so many comics Kickstarters going at, but you've actually gone for a bit of a different kind of product, haven't you?
Yeah. I mean, part of it was people saying, these would be so great as plushies, you should make them as plushies. And me going, I'd love to, but I would do nothing but sew plushies for the rest of my life just to meet the demand of you know. And I'm not saying the demand's crazy, but it's enough for me to just have to do that all the time. So it was part that, and part I've always loved toys of comic book characters. I've loved to be able to display a comic book character in my house in a 3D physical form. And I thought about figurines, I thought about like little standees and stuff, and then I thought, no, they're just so perfectly squidgy and cute, and that would just be an amazing way to do it.
Yeah.
Coupled with the requests I'd had, and the fact that I knew that by doing a product like this, it could almost draw even more attention to them, and they could grow even further. Because I've got so many plans for things I want to do with Catamaran, because they're so versatile as characters and stories.
It's sort of reignited your love for the characters. Like I say, you had the original book, thought it was done.
I think it has. Yeah. I think it genuinely has. Because when we as Big Punch Studios made the decision to make Catamaran part of that universe, and it genuinely is canonically part of the universe.
Which is insane.
But it is. We have all sorts of rules and lore for how that's possible.
Yeah.
When we made that decision, we suddenly realised, I think this is kind of like a big deal now. Like running alongside Seven String and Apple, I think it's equal. And then we started treating them almost like the mascots. And we had someone come by our table once and say that if we were Disney, Catamaran would be our Mickey Mouse. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
That's a big statement, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah. So, they have grown to probably be, one of our top headline titles now, which I never expected. Yeah. And you're right, the plushies have massively reignited that, like... Yeah, I've already been thinking since I've had them out on the table, which has only been two shows, this one and MCN, about other things I now want to do. I want to do more daily strips, I think.
Yeah.
I want to do more artwork. I want to do a lot.
I think it speaks volumes to the power of an individual character as well, because you look at these guys and they're quite simple designs.
They're very simple,
and some of the best designs are simple ones. I mean, I know, for instance, when you do Seven String, like Zach and his costume will change on every book.
Yeah.
And like you like to add details and all kinds of
that's quite a lot more effects. Yeah.
Whereas these, you know, this it almost invites like fan art. Like, you know, it's really.
And I have had quite a lot, yeah, actually, as well, because of that beautiful and like that, simplicity.
And it, they are responsible for what I think is one of the greatest moments I've seen in indie comics. And you know what I'm talking about.
I do. Thank you.
This was MCM, which, as we speak, was last weekend.
That's right, yeah.
And just tell us exactly what happened.
Oh, man, I might well up while I'm telling you this. Yeah. I don't know. It was just a beautiful thing. But this little girl came by called Alana. And she had bought Catamaran at a previous show. And
was
apparently.
This the book? The big
yeah,
book?
That was the big Thousand Days of Adventure book. And apparently she just hadn't put it down. She just loved it so, so much. Her copy was apparently dog-eared, you know, and she just took it everywhere she went. And she came and told me all of this. She was only little. She maybe was like 8 or 9 years old. Yeah. And was just gushing about how much she loved them. But then she gave me in a little envelope a little letter she'd written just for me, handwritten by her, in sort of pencil, sort of scrawled on. It was really cute.
Did she give you the letter and then walk away?
She just sort of hovered there, and she sort of wanted me to read it, but she sort of like took a step back, kind of. And it basically, it was just like, sort of, dear Nick, I love Catamaran so much. They mean so much to me. Yeah. Because of you, I've created my own two characters, Stag and Duck, yeah, which is a cartoon strip about, as you would imagine, a stag and a duck. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of the letter was her sketches of the two characters saying thank you for inspiring Alana to create us, as if to say their life had been caused into existence because I'm creating Catamaran. Which was, and it was just so lovely. Like, her and her mum were there and they were just all talking about how it's made her draw and it's made her read, and they were both so gushing and so, yeah, just incredibly complimentary about it, yeah, and what I'd done. And I couldn't believe I'd touched someone like that. It was, yeah, just, it was fantastic.
And
yeah.
And then you felt the need?
I felt the need to draw her characters in the Catamaran style, meeting Catamaran, and gave that to her as a sort of, you know, sort of, yeah, trade, as it were, yeah, for what she'd given to me. And then she was over the moon to yeah, have that as well. And apparently that's going to get framed and put on her bedroom
wall. That for me is what it's all about. I think,
I completely,
you know,
agree.
Yeah. I mean, no one obviously goes out to get that sort of reaction.
No.
But to have that, you know, you've inspired someone to pick up and draw their own characters. What more can you say?
I know.
Essentially, you can give up.
Yeah, that's it. I'm done.
Don't worry about the Kickstarter. Don't worry about any more comics. You've done it now.
Yeah, I think I'm done. Yeah, I think I'm finished. Yeah. But no, you're right. It's like, I often think and say to my, like, sort of when I sort of tell myself, well, why am I doing this? And it gets really tough and hard and no one's reading your stuff one day. And it's like, oh, this is annoying. Like, I say that the reason I'm doing it is because I want to give back to the same level that the stuff I read when I was a kid and just exploded my mind with inspiration and just loved it so much. I want to add to that world of this incredible content that's out there in the comics world. I want to be part of that.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you realise, oh, okay, I kind of am, actually.
Yeah.
If you've touched one person with what you've made, it's been worth it.
Yeah.
It's literally been worth it.
And, you know, certainly. I mean, it made me well up a little bit when I saw it.
Cool.
Yeah. So, definitely check out Catamaran, folks. And the Kickstarter. Because I can see the actual... These are prototypes on the table.
But they will look exactly like that. Yeah.
Same scale.
Same scale. Yeah, same size. So they're really cute for 15 centimetres tall, little plushy...
Yeah.
Lovelies.
I mean, I will say, in terms of, you see Kickstarter for like some comic merch, there's lots of stuff about of varying qualities, but I will say, you know, this is a Kickstarter you definitely want to get involved in, I think.
Thank you.
Because you also, you pay attention. I mean, I can see the boxes for the mugs from here and it looks professional, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a attention.
That means a lot to me. Yeah. As my day job is a graphic designer and so I'm doing all that sort of branding and stuff day to day, and it's fun to apply some of that to your own stuff.
Do you think that's quite important for people to bear in mind when they're displaying products and stuff?
Absolutely. I definitely think that, you know, people are quite, like, sort of the buying public are quite simple in a way, you know, simple creatures in the sense that they respect and understand something that looks professional and they will be drawn to it. And you can have the greatest comic in the world, but if it's badly presented, unfortunately someone won't pick it up.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's a shame, but it's true. And that's why we have to be as professional as we can in the indie comics community, I think. So,
cool. Well done, Nick.
Thank you.
Keep on fighting the good fight.
Oh, I will. Yes. As will all of Big Punch Studios.
Yes. And right, now let's have a hug.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I'm here with Toria McCallum. Are you related to The Invisible Man?
Oh, I wish.
Oh, me too. Yeah. And I understand you've got the second issue of your book, Time and Distance. Is it sort of autobiographical? Is it autobiographical or just slice of life?
Well, if you ask my writer, he'll say it's autobiographical.
Right,
but...
Okay.
It's kind of a slice of life, nerd setting, real life kind of thing.
Okay. And is it, I think you were just
just telling me about it, because that's why I went and got the microphone, because it sounded interesting, about two people that meet at a comic convention.
Yes, it's about, the main character is called Eddie Powell, and it's about him going to his first convention. He meets a girl there in cosplay, and he ends
What's
up...
cosplaying as?
Kairi from Kingdom Hearts 2.
I'm trying to visualize. I don't know what that means, but let's carry on.
He ends up crushing on her really hard, and it's about him kind of dealing with a superficial crush, basically.
Okay. And so where does it... So do they get together, or is that what you're waiting to find out in issue two?
Oh, well, in issue two, he's kind of digesting the whole situation of where he, how he feels about her and where it'll go if he dares even ask her out. But I guess you need to read to find out.
Yeah, you do. Here you go. So it's written by... CJ Barrett.
Yes.
Is he a friend of yours? How did you get together to do this?
Oh, we met through a friend of mine, mutual friend. He introduced us, and he asked me like 4 or 5 years ago to draw one of those comics.
Yeah.
And we've just been friends ever since.
Is this the first thing you've actually produced together, or is it?
Yeah, it's the first proper thing we've printed, although we have other things in the works. Hopefully they'll be at Thought Bubble, but
okay. That's
a big hopeful.
So far you've got issue one out.
Yes.
And your is it you in the middle of the Kickstarter now, or is it?
Yes, it's only been going for about a week.
Okay.
So we've managed to break the goal, so
yay,
that's something.
That's good. What are you just doing print costs? Are you doing a bit more? Are you paying you're getting paid as an artist, or if you don't mind me asking?
Oh no, we do it as like a, you know, it's a mutually beneficial thing between the two of us. We both enjoy making stuff, and
as this it should is, be.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. But no, it's mainly to cover printing costs, but we're also doing some... we've got print as one of the stretch goals. We've got some bookmarks as one of the rewards that we might do.
Yeah. Everyone loves a bookmark, don't they?
Yeah, well, you know, got to keep your place.
And is it going to be a series beyond that? Is it going to be a recurring series? Or?
Yes, there are 9 chapters of it that are written, and we are only on chapter 2. So
for those who haven't seen it, it's got a sort of slight sort of manga-esque feel to it.
Yeah.
If anyone knows the work of maybe Rachel Smith or someone like that, it's a very similar sort of... slightly wide-eyed innocent look to it, is it, would you say?
Yeah, I definitely say that. I got when I first showed it to people, I got Scott Pilgrim a lot as one of the influences.
Yeah. Is he an influence on you? Is that series an influence?
Oh yeah, Brian Lee O'Malley's a huge influence on me. And to be fair, so was Rachel Smith. She was one of the first indie artists I started reading, so.
And also here somewhere, isn't she?
Yeah, she's over there.
There you go. Have you had a chance to show her it, or?
No, not properly anyway. She's always so busy,
so... She won't mind, I'm sure. Yeah. So where can people find you online?
I can be found on my Facebook, facebook.com/ToriaScribbles, all one word.
Cool. And what's the Kickstarter? How can people find that?
It is down as Time and Distance Chapter 2. If you type in Time and Distance in Kickstarter, it'll just be the first one that's there, basically.
Brilliant. Excellent. I wish you good luck.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Cheers, mate.
Okay, I am here with Abby Ballmer.
Have I said that right?
Hi there, yes,
that's it. One of the guests for Cardiff Expo, and I am currently looking at your book, Gumbo, at the moment. Now, some people may know you because you work as a colourist. You've worked as a colourist and stuff, haven't you? I believe Rock of the Reds, which we've talked about quite a few times on the show, and the colours are magnificent.
Oh, thank you.
But, you know, and then I turn up and I see this marvellous comic sitting in front of me that you've done. So what is Gumbo?
Imaginary Gumbo is an all-ages comic by me and my husband. I do the artwork, he does all the writing and the words.
Yeah.
And it's something we've been trying to do for years. It's one of those little projects that you always wanted to get done. And it's about a little girl called Charlie. One day she goes into the forest and she starts discovering monsters around her treehouse.
I'm in.
Yeah. And basically, there's one particularly scary guy. He's this huge hulking knight. He looks like a supervillain. It's all big dark cloaks. He's got an army of skeletons.
Yeah. Is this the guy I can see on the cover as we speak?
Yeah, that's the guy. And also there are these little like frog monsters everywhere.
Yeah.
And she's just not sure who's nice and who's not.
Yeah.
And it's just about her little adventure meeting them for the first time.
So is it a sort of a one-shot
at the moment? No, it's going to be...
Is it self-contained stories?
This works as a little self-contained.
Yeah.
but it's also an introduction to the characters. There's going to be an issue two that we're working on now. It's all nice. Penciled.
Yeah.
I've started inking and colouring it, so hopefully shouldn't be too far away now.
Yeah.
Depending on my colouring schedule for the project.
Yeah.
But we've got an idea for an ongoing story, and this would be the first part. But if you just read this story, it's a nice little contained.
Yeah.
I mean, I must say, it looks right up my street.
Oh, thank you.
And I think it's got that sort of look that I think a lot of good all ages books should have, in the fact that there's monsters, there's adventure, there's scary stuff. Kids love that, all that, don't they?
I mean, basically, I did. You know, I like to be a bit creeped out.
Yeah.
But I also like cute things.
Yeah.
So I just enjoy that any time I can mix the two together.
Yeah.
And just have... I'm a big fan of monsters being charming.
Yeah.
You'll see that a lot of my artwork. You'll
so there,
see
there's a few charming monsters in this, but I'm sure there's some scary ones as well.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Because who doesn't like a scary monster?
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So what were your influences and, like, you know, what... went into this? Because, like you say, you've got this idea for a long time, but obviously if you've got an idea for a long time, it changes it.
Yes,
more.
Definitely. I think originally it was going to be more of a simple strip. And I think the first idea I had when I was a lot younger, I'd just come out of university. And then we were asked to pitch something for the DFC back when that started.
Oh, yes.
That was the initial idea for Imaginary Gumball. Yeah. We sent something in for that, and we were going to be in it, but then, of course, the DFC went away.
Yeah.
So we decided to just carry on tinkering with it. Yeah. And the initial thought was we'd do it as a webcomic, but we still wanted to print it.
Yeah.
So when we find...
Old school, you like,
yes,
the, like
exactly.
The printing.
Yeah,
books.
Yeah. So if we can do both in some way, that's the ideal, really.
Yeah.
But I grew up with things like... commercial comics like Sonic the Comic and the Ninja Turtles, so I had a big influence of video games, all sorts of things on me. But then as I started reading more comics as I got older, I got into artists like Scotty Young.
I can see that influence in yourself.
I kind of went through a little period in time when, as a cartoonist, I thought people weren't very interested in cartoons anymore. And then I saw Scotty Young take off, and it filled me with a lot of hope. Yeah. You know?
I mean, he's an industry unto himself, isn't he? Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Do you know what I mean? He doesn't need to make comics now. He could just do variant covers for the rest of his life.
I know, and it's so nice to see that he's still got enough room in his brain to do things like I Hate Fairyland.
Yeah. I mean, I Hate Fairyland is a different style of comic. You know, that's
completely different.
Yeah, it's not really all ages, that book, is it?
No, but it's still.
It's completely Scotty Young. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So, do you have an end in sight for this?
Yes.
How many issues do you think it will be?
Oh, I'm not really. We're still kind of. Initially, when we first came up with the idea, when we were young and silly, we were thinking, oh, this will go on for years, you know.
Yeah.
And the first thing we did was we started getting realistic about it. We started breaking it down into smaller chunks.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure. I mean, maybe 20 now. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, we would have just dragged
start,
it on and on.
The story will become what it wants to become, isn't it? Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. But we've got an initial idea of a little story arc that takes place over three issues that kind of introduces you to the status quo. That sounds like a lot of work, but I think it'll tell a good story in its own. So if things change, then at least we'd have told that story finally.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're balancing this with your colouring work as well. Does that keep you busy and off the streets?
Just about. I've also got a full-time job. I work at Travelling Man in Manchester. That's
nice.
5 days
a week. So essentially you're surrounded by comics all of
constantly,
the time.
Constantly, yeah.
Is there ever a moment where you're like, I can't look at another comic in...
Amazingly, no. I mean,
that's a good sign.
It happened to some people.
Yeah.
And there have been points where I've worn myself out a bit because I do try and fit in a lot.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I always come home. I had a day looking at amazing artwork.
Yeah.
And it always inspires me.
There's always something to inspire you, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, certainly, once you launch this, this must have been a massive boost as well. Just another...
It was so nice to finally get it out.
Yeah.
We had friends. We had seen kids as well who They'd seen our little mini comics, which we'd done to test things.
So you tested things?
Yes. And they always said we'd love to see more imaginary gumbo. And to finally get that first story out, which we launched at Thought Bubble last year.
Oh right, it's not too old then.
It's not very old. It still feels pretty fresh, to be honest. Yeah. The response was really nice. People seemed to really enjoy it.
Nice.
I still think I need to work a bit harder on promoting it and getting it out there. But
that's the difficult stage, isn't it?
It's so hard.
I mean, it is true that like making the book is only probably a quarter of the book's life, isn't it? Then?
Definitely.
But I mean, it looks fantastic. It's a wonderful product. I mean, where can people get it if they can't make it to a show?
Okay.
Where can people grab it?
If you go to dumpylittlerobot.com, that's my portfolio website. It also links to some of the work by my husband, who does silly songs on YouTube.
Nice.
We also link to... There is a web version of issue one online, but if you prefer a print version, there is a store that you can buy it from.
Nice.
So whatever your preference is, we don't mind. I just want people to read it, to be honest.
Yes, get out there and read it, people, because I'm about to, now that I'm about to buy a copy. Thank you very much, Abby.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I'm at SICE. Ooh. With Josh Hicks. Josh, you know, we reviewed Glorious Wrestling Alliance, I'm going to say about a year ago probably, is it?
Maybe two years ago. I don't know.
Since then you've had another issue out and you've got another one coming soon, is that right?
Yeah.
Could you want to talk about what it was about?
So Glorious Wrestling Alliance is my silly wrestling comic. They're like 24-page Riesel printed mini comics about a fictional wrestling promotion and kind of the backstage goings on. So there's very little wrestling in any of them. It's all just about slight anxiety and just petty quarrels with wrestlers. It's good. And there's a third one coming out in time for Thought Bubble in September. So now that I've said it, I have to do it. So I will make sure it's happened.
So you're like nuts for wrestling, yeah?
I'm wearing a wrestling-themed cap now, which I've realised as you look at me. Can't see it. But I enjoy it. I'm not nuts. I didn't enjoy it that much when I started doing this.
Right, okay.
I liked wrestling video games, and I used to like it as a child. And since starting, I sort of started going to wrestling shows more, and now I do actually genuinely enjoy wrestling.
Do you ever try and sell your books at wrestling shows?
Never tried to do that. I gave it away. There's a local promotion in Cardiff called Attack Pro Wrestling. They do a raffle every intermission. They do a raffle. It's very hotly contested, and I've given some comics away at the raffle a few times. The one time I did it, the person who won had the comic, so it was a useless enterprise. But I'll try it again. I'll see if I can do it again. So yeah, I don't know what the crossover is between wrestling fans and comics fans.
Yeah, I don't know.
There must be some. Yeah. Every time anyone reviews it, they always mention that there's a lot of wrestling comics and that there's more crossover than you'd think.
Okay.
So I might do some sort of study into that, like a survey or something.
You're probably doing yourself a slightly service because it's not regular wrestling people, is it?
Yeah. No, that's the thing. It's most people who like it, I don't think, care about wrestling.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to. There's no like references to, aside from the fact that all the characters are half naked for most of it. There's not that much wrestling related stuff going on in there. So yeah, it's a weird mix. I don't know who would like it.
What else are you working on at the moment? You got a few other things or?
Done some anthology stuff that should be coming out soon. I'm doing it, getting a script in to do another two-pager maybe for an anthology that's coming up.
Okay.
And then after this third wrestling thing, I think I'm going to see maybe about trying to collect it and then see what's going on from there then.
Would you colour it or would you change it in any way or before you collected it?
I'd be up for colouring it. At the point that I'm at now, there's a lot of pages and none of them have been coloured, so it would be like a mammoth undertaking to colour it. But I would do it. I'd be up for it. I think it would look nice to kind of have like a deluxe premium edition. So that'll be, yeah, I'd love to do
in
that.
It looks to me the sort of book that maybe someone like Avery Hill or Disconnect Press or Good Comics would love to put out. Is that sort of feel to it, do you think? Or?
Yeah, I think that it would fit with those people, yeah. So I've spoken to a couple of people about it, but it's not finished, so I need to kind of finish it up and see what we're going to do with it, kind of. But yeah, that's the goal, is to just get it in one volume.
I love it, mate. It's great fun. Top book. So what have you got convention-wise? So you're thinking of doing LCAF, aren't you? You were saying to me earlier.
We don't know yet. Maybe.
We don't know. I'm thinking of, I didn't apply this year because I had prior commitments that I no longer have.
Right. Okay.
So I'm either just going to show up and just walk around, or I'm going to try and sidle my way into someone's table and sort of get in
there. Go to the pub and sell your comics or something. They all go to the pub anyway, don't they?
I might bring a cart with me and just sit outside and sell them outside. I'm sure that's fine. Yeah, my LCAF. The Josh Hicks East London Comics Festival.
And then you're going to do Thought Bubble as well? You've got a table there?
Definitely
or?
Doing Thought Bubble. I've got a table. What else am I doing? Small press day in July. I will be at Gosh Comics all day. From day till night, I'll be there at various things. And then potentially doing Bristol if they let us back in. So that'll be good.
You're not doing the South London Comic and Zine Fair. That's coming up in July, isn't it?
No, I'm not doing that. I'm giving some books to Andy to do to give out there.
Andy Oliver.
He's got a Broken Frontier table. So my stuff will be at that table. Whatever I've got at that point will be there. But I physically as a person won't be there. But I will be at Thought Bubble for sure, and possibly Bristol. And
possibly the third Glorious Wrestling Alliance comic.
Definitely, we're definitely, 100%.
Yeah. Where can people buy your comics?
You can go to joshhicks.co.uk. You can buy them physically. You can get print copies online at my Big Cartel. So the link's on the website. You can also get digital comics for like a pay what you want in that pay what you want capacity.
Such a hipster, aren't you?
I just think, I am such a hipster, I know. Just do what you want. Do what you want. I don't believe in being reimbursed monetarily for things that I've done. Do whatever you want. The PDFs.
You're on Twitter as well?
I'm on Twitter at A Josh Hicks. All one word.
Thanks, man. Big fan.
Awesome. Thank you. Big fan of you as well. Beautiful. All right.
We're good to go. Yeah. Let's do this. High energy. Come on.
Yeah. I have actually started recording now. Brilliant.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes. I'm here with Claire and Bryony from Wine and Zine.
Yes.
Yes. Who are some of our faves and also fellow podcasters now, aren't
dun,
you?
Dun, dun.
We've been christened.
So, I know this week the first episode went up. What inspired you to do a podcast?
I think it was actually your podcast, to be honest.
Oh, you guys.
You knew we were going to say that, didn't you?
I actually didn't. So I don't have a witty response prepared. But, that can't be the simple answer.
I mean, we'd only done...
Because you've seen how unprofessional our show is.
We'd only done yours, and we had fun. And people seem to recognise us at cons from that one episode.
People enjoyed it. They enjoyed our banterous nature.
Yeah.
And
I thought, we could just do that.
It's opened some doors, so we thought we'll open our own doors.
Yeah. What she said.
You can already tell which one's the business head. Let's open some doors. I've never heard anyone say, let's open some doors for us. Yeah, but what is the actual show sort of going to be about? Because obviously you guys are an art collective who are doing illustrations, comics, etc. But what are you going to talk about on this show?
So you've already answered this question in another podcast and you said a really good answer.
Yeah, sure. So we're going to talk about comics, zines, like TV shows, films, games, and the creative processes behind them, design processes, illustrating, storytelling, like all that sort of junk.
So it's more than just sort of like, this TV show was good last night, wasn't it? Yeah. You're going into a bit more
we're
about
talk about like why it's good.
Yeah, like break it down. Yeah. And I mean, like, I know we've got a few friends locally as well, so I think we'll try and bring... a lot of Indian local people that sometimes maybe just are too nervous, like they won't do interviews unless they know the people, so I'll just force them. I'll be like, hey, you're my friend, here's a microphone.
That's quite threatening.
No.
I'll just force them.
Maybe I didn't word that the best. Which maybe I shouldn't.
I say this
do.
As I just walked up to you and said, I'm going to interview you now.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's also looking, yeah, I'd like
book consent.
Oh, well, there we go. Yeah.
Hashtag
quote from Claire Spiller 2018.
Hashtag consent.
And that's the podcast dead.
You can already see why this is a must listen show. Yeah. I couldn't have written that better.
Yay.
Yeah. So obviously it's starting now. How often are your episodes are just going to be like whenever you can?
Yeah, at the moment it's once a month on the first.
The big ones on the first of every month, and then mini ones whenever we can be bothered.
Yeah. So we're going to have...
Refreshingly honest.
We're going to have one for this convention. Yeah. So like we've had a few interviews, and me and Claire are going to do a little recording tomorrow.
Yeah, so I saw you've got some interviews. That's exciting.
So only three, but...
How did you find the experience of going out and interviewing people?
Because they're all my friends, so it's sort of easy.
Even talking to your friends when you're just sort of like giving them interview questions and doing... like this.
I mean,
like holding a microphone.
Yeah, I guess part of
You'll
the key
chat
is
to anyone though, won't you?
I guess part of the key is fuck consent. So I literally went up to my friends Beth and Sam. They hate this stuff, and I was like, "Hey guys, I'm going to interview you," and they're like, "Oh, you're not recording it, are you?" And I'm like, "Yes," and they're like, "Oh." So
amazing. Yeah. Hashtag fuck consent.
Yes, that's what the that's what this episode can be called. You might get the wrong listeners.
I mean, obviously, in all seriousness, like the first episode was great. I like the fact that you sort of laid out what you guys were as an art collective and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, even though we're laughing about it, you actually are talking about genuine like.
Oh
art
yeah,
and
yeah. Like as a group, as all of Wine and Scene, where that we really do care about.
We are quite professional sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. But with a bit of humour. Yeah. Yes.
Because you all work in the sort of arts in some form.
All of us do arts either in our day job or, we do it in part-time as well. Like, we're all, like, freelance artists.
Yeah. Animators, illustrators.
All of us. We're either doing comics or we illustrate or animate. Like, we're all doing something creatively and proactive in it. And Wine and Zine just helps us, you know, like, definitely get a body of work together because there's... I have so many friends that, you know, they're great and they're amazingly talented, and it's just the whole, they just haven't got the catalyst, you know, they haven't got a deadline, they haven't got the time. But if you make time, or if it's more, here's a deadline, if we don't get it done, you're going to be at this convention with nothing new and you've wasted your time. And, you know, if it's that whole catalyst of like working together as well, which we do quite well.
Are some of the other guys from Wine and Zine going to be on the show as well?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, you met Jess Swindon, didn't you?
Yeah, so...
And that was fun.
Yeah. You did well as well.
Yeah, we did really well. Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. We've all got different chemistry together as well. So, like, Claire and Jess are their own...
We have our own
cage.
Relationship.
Yeah.
Cage?
Like, of full of something. Monkey? I was thinking of... Never mind.
Monkeys?
No, this is where...
What are you accusing me of? Keeping a cage of monkeys?
No, I was trying to think of... a phrase and nothing came out. So
that's not a phrase.
Our relationship
is like a cage of monkeys.
can I keep to that? Can you? Okay, cut it.
No. Right, before I bring this to an end, where can people find the podcast?
Claire.
What's the address again? Wineandzine.podbean.com is where you can find it on the web. But it should be on iTunes and all those places.
I think we'll find a link on your Twitter, etc. as well.
Yes, definitely.
We'll put it in the show
and
notes.
Our website and everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. Or if you search Wine and Zine Podcast, it'll come up.
Yeah.
On the Googles.
And if you're not following them by now, something wrong with you.
Yeah. Poor soul.
Thank you, ladies.
Thanks, Vince. Thank
you. Here with Martin.
Hi.
Big news in America now. Working for...
Do you have to call him the Martin Simmons?
Yeah, the Martin Simmons, yeah.
I might actually get my name officially
slightly
changed.
Aroused, actually, I'll be honest with you.
Martin is now your middle name.
I don't want to make too much eye contact because I am a little bit aroused and you're only really saying to
the
it.
The feeling is completely mutual.
Mate, killing it.
Thank you very
absolutely
much.
Killing
cheers.
It. So what's happening with it? Because it's a limited series, is it?
Yeah. So the first six issues are done. We'll see where it goes from there, really, with it. But
so it's sort of a BPRD kind of scenario, is it?
Yeah,
Hellboy,
yeah.
Six issues and maybe do another six later
on.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
What series is this?
I haven't just said it. Punk's Not Dead.
Did you?
Yeah.
Punk's Not Dead. so we'll see what happens. But at the moment, the next thing is working on Frendo with Alex Bacnavel for Vault Comics.
Great, actually. We've talked a lot about that.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of things at the moment.
Yeah,
They come from hardly anywhere in the last year.
Ricardo
did some stuff. Yeah, he did. What's the name of the series?
Yeah.
And Heathen, of course.
Yes.
Which is a great book.
So we had Mr. Pacnadel on the show a couple of years ago, actually. Yeah, he's a nice guy, isn't he? Yeah,
he's lovely. Yeah, lovely guy. Lovely guy.
What's that about? What's that book about?
It's basically if you had a pair of like virtual glasses, a bit like Google glasses, essentially. But you had your own personalised marketing friendo guy who basically appears in your glasses, like an augmented reality kind of thing. And so he only appears whenever he feels that there's something that there's there to sell to you, basically. So he's, but as the story goes on, it becomes more corrupted.
It's like a personal shopper in your...
Yeah, kind of. There's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah,
but,
I'm sure there is.
I don't want to go into too much.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, fairly dystopian.
Alex is very... I think he did a PhD in Philip K. Dick or something like that, he was telling me.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Sort of thing.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
I mean, Arcadia was great and Turncoat as well that he did.
Turncoat's amazing. Yeah, really amazing.
So he's a very talented writer.
Have you started on that, have you?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm already sort of some way through. But I'm not doing the colouring on that, I'm just doing the line work, so it's quite a departure for me.
Yeah.
It's very much sort of scaled back style for me, so it's out of my comfort zone, shall we say.
3 pages a day?
Yeah, actually, I'll tell you what, it feels so fast just purely because I'm not painting it, so it just feels so different.
Well, painting's a big part of your process, isn't it?
So, very much so.
I mean, did you have to change your style?
Yeah, I mean, I've even changed my style really with Punk's Not Dead, to be honest. I mean, that's kind of scaled back. I'm kind of trying to aim towards a little bit less referenced, really, so it's a little bit more cartoony in some places. Okay. We're trying to find a balance, really, so like some parts are a little bit more realistic and sort of, you know, some of the more sober moments in it, and then there's like some of the more exaggerated action scenes, things that get a little bit more sort of cartoony and exaggerated. I think that's quite a sort of nice approach to take with it. But in a, generally speaking, the whole process for me with Punks of the Dead is a lot simpler than it has been like for stuff I've done before, like I did with Mike Eponymous, even Death Sentence, actually. There's a lot more flat colours and things in it, but they're flat colours, but they're not flat, if that makes sense. They're kind of, you know, like hand painted, so there's some discrepancies in there and some. I love little mistakes and little things that aren't perfect in artwork. So it's quite nice to have that kind of thing. But the textures are still there.
And
I kind of like that kind of thing, really.
Yeah.
You know, because happy accidents and things are quite good, really.
Because I had a chat with Shelley Bond, name dropping, and mentioned you. And she literally was so excited to be working with you. I've told you this before. I've told you. So you're not going back to Black Crown at any time, or?
Oh yeah. I'm as far as I'm concerned, kind of that's my home really for work.
Cool.
I mean,
I
don't know what Shelley would think of that, but as far as I'm concerned, you know, I'm always available for Black Crown. It's a great
idea. So for those who don't know, it's like a street and things are happening in the pub, it's kind of a shared universe,
but it's a shared street. That street doesn't really exist anywhere, but it exists in all the comics. So at any time, a character from Kid Lobotomy can interact, you know, and Sid Vicious could be there. The ghost of somebody who thinks he's Sid Vicious.
It's an issue, because for those who don't know Punk's Not Dead, basically we bump into someone who's very similar to Sid Vicious in the urinal at the airport, don't
that's
we?
Great. Well, yeah. There's an urban myth that when Sid Vicious's mum brought his ashes back from America, from New York back to Heathrow, she tripped and fell. The ashes got spilt and they got sucked up into the air vents. So the premise in this is that's an urban myth, but obviously in this it's actually happened, and he thinks that's what's happened. And he's been stuck in like a limbo Heathrow for 40 years, essentially. It's not until Fergie, who's the protagonist in the story, comes along and meets him. He realises he's the only person that can see this supernatural being. We don't really know what it is. But this being thinks he's the ghost of Sid Vicious. But, you know, things become apparent as you go through that that's not quite the case.
The thing I loved about that comic, especially the first issue, for example, is... Yeah. It just kicks off and it starts with a playground fight, doesn't it?
And then
you go back.
Go back, yeah.
That's really well. I really like the way he did that.
Yeah, well, David's great at doing that kind of stuff. He's so good at sort of setting up great pace. He's got a wonderful cadence with his writing as well and everything. It's like he's fantastic. So like, I mean, I didn't know David before we did this.
So, essentially,
and it's been a joy, to be honest. He's a great writer.
Is that his first comic work?
I can't remember.
He's a journalist normally.
He's a journalist and novelist. He's done a couple of novels. I think he's just signed a new deal for another 3 books, I think, with Trapeze. So he's kind of doing really well with his novels as well. He did one called Goodbye Major Tom. Sorry, I'm getting mixed up. And he's got another one coming out, I think, pretty soon. He's a great novelist, and so this is his first comic book. Although he did do like a short story for Femme Magnifique, so Shelley's anthology book that she did.
She's getting to renown. She's had Dilraj Mann's been doing some covers.
He's amazing. Yeah, I love his work.
We've had him on the show.
I missed that one. He did a short in one of the Black Crown Quarterlies with Leah Moore, which is great. He's brilliant. So unique, isn't he? It's such a unique style.
Monsters. Have you read Dawson Monsters?
I haven't read it yet.
Incredible.
It's Shelley that introduced me to his work. I'd never seen it before. So yeah, he's
enough of other artists. You get to choose a job, a character to work on. ideal, who do you choose?
Probably John Constantine, I expect.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yes.
Either that or Daredevil, I think.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got a load of Bronze Age Daredevils over there.
Fantastic.
Pouring over, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
yeah. I think, a while ago, I probably would have said Hawkeye.
Okay.
I think I could quite
traditional
fancy doing...
Man Hawkeye, Lady Hawkeye?
Probably Kate Bishop, actually, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah. I can see your stuff.
Yeah, I think I'd quite like... Elektra would be another one. Oh, there's loads. I can't pick one. There's too many.
Yeah, I'd definitely buy an Elektra book.
I'll do anything. I'll do any character. It's fine. No, John Constantine... I think John Constantine was... Well, Hellblazer was a comic I grew up with and absolutely loved. And
you can tell it's influencing you.
Well, McKean's covers were... As a kid, kind of seeing that, it was the covers that drew me in, which I know you should never be tempted by a cover, and I don't judge a book by its cover, but those covers were amazing. Absolutely incredible. Right, yeah. Just so different as well at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And seeing his work actually led me on to people like Sienkiewicz, because I didn't know Sienkiewicz before that.
Okay.
So yeah. it was McKean's stuff that led me on to him and Kent Williams and all those. At the time, like, there's lots of artists painting, like doing painting work and watercolours and stuff, and for like Epic, which was the Marvel imprint, wasn't it? And yeah, all those artists are kind of, they're a big influence on me, really. But you know, I work digitally, so it's quite a different thing. But I try and make it look fairly organic and fairly you know. Nice.
Thanks, man. Where can we find you online?
If you go to simmons-illustration.com, that's my website, or martin_simmons is my Twitter handle. Yeah, that's it at the moment.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Cheers. Thank you.
I've just noticed, like, John Tucker's banner as well.
It's the greatest banner in history.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Genius.
I fucking love it.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Right, I'm standing by our table with...
Brilliant interview so far. It's going really well.
I hate you.
Your hair looks really nice, though, currently. He was really mean to you and then was like, your hair looks lovely.
Yeah, it does look nice.
And I was like,
so as you can tell, folks, I am here with Sarah Millman, a.k.a. Milmo, a.k.a. the Milmanator. Oh, yes, I'm keeping it all. I'm keeping
Shit.
It all. Yes, okay. Yes. This is evidence now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was recording.
Oh,
so,
dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
But, yes. How's your day been?
Good. As you can tell, I'm like utterly frazzled.
Are you a bit spaced out at the moment?
A little bit. Like me and Sean Jefferson and a couple of other people, we did MCM last weekend as well.
Yeah. You're like the salt and pepper of the convention scene, aren't you?
Yeah, we do swear at each other like all day. And I was very sad to not table next to each other because we usually just like take the piss out of each other all day. That's pretty much all we do. That's how we show our friendship. But, you know. But
it's tough love, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, we're just both exhausted. Like really tired, so it's been nice. It's been very like friendly, lots of really lovely people to catch up with. But
this is your hometown show.
Yeah, but I could really do with a lie down and a pint. That's what I need.
I think that doesn't necessarily help. Didn't you do MCM last weekend? Did you do MCM?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
You've got a crazy look in your eyes that tells me you did.
Yeah,
and
I
you
did.
Haven't
I've,
slept since.
I've seen things you wouldn't believe.
Oh my god.
It was all right. It's just MCM is always just exhausting. Yeah. It's like we had quite a good show, both of us, but just, oh man. Like, well, this is the complete other end of the spectrum.
Yeah,
just,
it's so
nice, chilled out.
Yeah, and everyone's so nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
But was MCM the launch of NPC T4?
Yes, it's a mouthful, isn't it? But yes, it was. So I got it out just in time for the con. Didn't get much sleep beforehand. Haven't had much sleep after, so yeah. A little bit dead.
But I mean, I've already had a look through the issue, and it looks more greatness, more of the same. How have you? I mean, obviously, you've only just launched it. What's the feedback been like? Have you heard much feedback?
Good. It's been great. Yeah, I hope it's been good. Like, people seem to be coming back for more, which is always good, and being like, "Where's issue 5?" And so I take that as a good sign. I also had cosplayers at MCM.
Of your characters?
Yes.
A maze ball.
I wanted to die.
Now, what characters were this?
They were, one of them was Oz and the other one was Nyx. So the girl who was Nyx, she had like the horns, but she also made the like little emoji, like an emoji hanging off. Like, amazing. It was so cute.
Tony's trying to put us off.
He's mocking us. That's great. Thanks.
Yeah. This is why I don't do interviews next to our table.
Just heckling.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, I wish I was somewhere else.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
You're not the only tired one. That's all I've got to say. No, but NPCT, has been like a bit of a success for you, hasn't it? It's sort of like, so obviously you had the Heart of Time.
Yeah.
And the NPC has just taken a life of its own, hasn't it? I mean, obviously it's a 5-issue arc.
It's 8, actually. You say 5, it's 8.
I keep saying 5.
Yeah, you do keep saying 5. You said it before, yeah.
I think it's because I think...
Because the one that your print is going to be in, that's it. You're just going to finish it.
Oh, yeah. When my print's in it. Like,
when your print's in it.
There's no point reading it after that.
You don't need to get any more.
I want to stay on the record then, right? I'm sorry, but every time I've said this is a 5-issue series...
No.
Let's get it on the record.
It's more that I'm kind of like, guys, you know what you're buying into. Just so you know, there are 3 more issues after that. So it's more kind of like warning people.
Is it all... Have you written the whole thing?
Yes. So I finalised the final scene the other day. It's, I got a bit sad.
Really?
Yeah.
In a good way? Was it?
I hope so. Yeah. It's bittersweet. So I hope.
Not like the tea.
Some teas are, I've got to say.
Yeah, it's true. What's your favourite brand of tea?
Oh, that's a difficult one. There is actually, this is fancy as fuck, so I apologise. There is a brand of tea that is made in the UK, in Cornwall. They grow tea, and that's really nice. Yeah, it's called Tregnoffin, I think it's called. But yeah, it's good. They do really
no
good.
No one's going to remember that name.
I know. I don't even remember that name. It's got like a G in the wrong place. You can't.
What sort of tea is it? Is it like a PG? Is it like your general sort of tea?
Get out. Just get out.
What?
No. They do like they do all different types. So they do like the brew, the like breakfast.
Was this comic born from you being a tea snob?
I'm not as much of a tea snob as my characters, but it's just because it's a nice way to chill out. It's all about chilling out and the pros of not being average person, basically.
And then throwing in like strange arcane magic and evil.
You know, when you're trying to chill out and then someone's just chasing you down, trying to make you burn shit, that's kind of where it...
Story of my life, love.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so I think we can all relate.
You did the Kickstarter for 4 and 5together.
Yes, I did. And then I'm going to be doing 6 and 7 is going to be, I think, just in time for Thought Bubble.
So that's how you... Are you kickstarting that as well?
Yes, 6 and 7? But I will. But this time I'll have finished 6 and 7 before the Kickstarter goes. Right, and then I'm going to be doing 8 around about November, December, just in time for Christmas. And I'll be doing number 8 and the volume. But there'll be like a nice little collector's box for everyone who's collected the singles. So I've got it planned out. I'm just not getting much sleep before then.
Have you slept much since starting this comic?
Not really.
Is it because you're drinking too much tea?
Yeah, I think
and the
so.
The caffeine's keeping
I
you
think
up.
So, yeah. I reckon. Yeah.
So is this comic an advert for or against tea?
You be the judge.
Yeah, that's true. I will say this.
I don't sleep, but I've managed to make comics, so, you know.
I will say this, though. It's one of the best comics on the indie market.
Oh, dude, thank you.
That's I'm not just saying that because you got me to do a print either. Do you know what I mean?
It's an excellent print. It's brilliant. Yeah. But it means that I'm going to get a bit cheesy. It means a lot because I kind of made this comic when I was feeling really low. And it's kind of like a way that it was quite, almost like therapy writing it because it was my dream project.
Yeah.
And so when people say they really like it and I just want to curl up in a little ball and cry because it's just so nice.
It's another example of why always talk about your dream project. Why don't you just develop it and make it?
Yeah, for sure. Because especially as it's indie, it's like no one's, we're not making much money.
Yeah.
I got distracted
The amount of people that are trying to put us off during this thing is crazy.
You've got to do it for the love of it, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, you know, exactly. So you may as well do what you want.
And okay, as soon as we're getting emotional, let's just sign off. When you... Oh my God. When you saw those cosplayers, did you get emotional?
I had a little cry. I hid under the table. A little bit, and Sean was just.
That's not the way you do business.
I was like Sean, and I was next to Sean and Anna, and they were just laughing. Like, you know, are you okay? And I was like, I'm fine. Just my heart is so big right now.
Oh,
but it was fantastic. But I did cry. Yes.
So anybody who hasn't got this comic yet, where can people get hold of it?
Probably the best thing to do is to check out my Twitter. So it's heart_of_time, and there's links there to like my website, and I've got an Etsy store. Usually you can like if you go on Etsy and you search for NPCT, it does come up. So it's like nice. NPC the letters and then T.
Like not
the drink.
Non-player character.
Yes, exactly. Precisely. Yeah. That is the one.
That's it's a mouthful. We nerds know what you're talking about. Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
Right. Ooh. For whom the bell tolls, it's almost the end of the day.
I've got to go in a sec.
You do?
Get a train.
Tony's got to leave me.
Always Andy Hanks.
Yeah. As always, when we do the sign off, people are always around us, aren't they? Yeah. They want to see how the sausage is made. As it what? Were.
You heard.
No, but this is... Sice has been a good fun day, hasn't
it? It has been. Yeah. I literally got a sore throat from laughing.
Yeah.
We've done a few, haven't we? You done all right?
Yeah. Issue 2's done all right.
Good on is. This has been a brilliantly organised event, I've got to tell you.
Yeah. Proper nice venue. Yeah. The raffle was a big success. Some amazing pieces of artwork we saw.
There was two versions of Nemesis, weren't they? Really good.
Yeah, I think Connor Boyle did one, and did Martin Simmons do the other?
I thought he did a Joker. I'm not sure.
But either way, the artwork.
Martin's on form, isn't he?
Yeah. Good.
And we've got three guests lined up from people we've been speaking to here.
Yeah. People you haven't necessarily heard before. No. So.
And you've become Kenneth Williams again.
Someone here. it's been a successful day all round. Lovely as always. What have been your
John
highlights?
Wait.
Yeah, John
looking
Osway.
Off the table, yeah. Staring at us.
He's been our table golem. Oh, God. Here we go.
Hello.
Yeah. Just a top day all round.
Yeah, it's been, I've had a good time.
Yeah. Roll on the next one.
Yeah, when's the next one?
Our next show that we will be at.
Oh, like a rock band.
Yeah. Will be the True Believers Summer Variant.
When is that?
That's August the 12th.
Oh, look at you. Fucking hell.
I don't know why Tony's impressed. I completely got that wrong. The True Believers Summer Variant is on Sunday the 5th of August from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Blackfriars Priory, Lady Belgate Street, Gloucester. If you want to know more, go to oktruebelievers.com for more details and never pay attention to what I say because I'm clearly talking rubbish.
Yeah, that's where we'll have issue 2. But as you know by now, you can get issue 2 of Awesome Comics from awesomecomicspod.com. BigCartel.com?
Yeah, well done.
Nailed it.
And you can find me at Vanguard.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can find... Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many we had on the tally of Where's Dan.
There's quite a few.
It's quite a few.
So I'm just looking at it now.
Yeah, Dan Butcher, you are always missed.
Yeah, we miss him. Yeah, we do miss him.
All the time. But yeah, if you want to know, just go to at Vanguard Comic. Yeah. Follow him on there.
Yeah, you can see what sauciness he's been up to.
Oh, sauciness and amazing artwork. That's all our boy does, and we're very proud of him for it. But should we sign off on the show? Where can people find you?
They can find me in my balls, Pascal and Xavier, the two balls that I've named, Frenchmen.
The European triumvirate.
Three?
Yeah, I think it's three.
Who accused us of being...
No. You wrote in someone's comic that I had three balls.
I did, didn't I? Yeah. And then God Machine told us that three is a triangle, which means that we're the Illuminati.
Yeah, we are.
And he said you can find triangles. Someone told him you can find triangles in donuts.
Yeah.
God Machine is a secret genius.
He is.
That's probably the funniest conversation we've had today.
I think so. Yeah. Fabulous beard.
Yeah, brilliant beard. Yeah. Top bloke,
Top bloke. And, anyway, where can people find you?
Oh, yeah, you can find me, Ezohyz, or never mind. Are you looking bored?
No.
You're looking down, like, what are you doing with your pocket? All right. neverironanything.blogspot.co.uk.
Which is on fire at the moment.
It is. The biggest month ever last month. Yeah, I was really surprised, yeah.
Is it going to get bigger from here?
No, it's to get smaller. Well, it never goes down if you look at it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's almost your catchphrase. How bad is that? Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Jester Diablo. Okay. And and there you'll probably see me post loads
cat
of stuff.
Pictures or dog pictures. That's how we live now, isn't
it? Yeah, you do dog pictures, I do cat pictures. Yeah. That's the way it's. Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't like people, it's animals.
We do.
Like. Yeah. And of course, keep listening to the show.
Oh, and the glue pot books, girls. Brilliant.
Yes.
Sophie and Scarlett, I love them. They were proper good company today as well. Yeah, let's say that. Yeah. There's loads of it going on, loads of it.
Yeah. It
makes it all over me.
Just it reinvigorates you about comics, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Although at the moment, I say reinvigorated and we're very, very knackered.
Yeah. And the best thing today has been...
John Tucker's banner.
Which is our favourite banner
in the world. Which is the greatest banner in the history of the world.
Thank you very much. It's been described as too slick and very hard to look at for prolonged periods.
Haven't we all? So what more can you say, folks? Thank you for listening to this episode. Join us next week.
John's done a comic of me. Show me it.
For more nonsense and my life. perfect for the audio medium. So, yes, thank you for joining us, folks. Okay. We'll catch you next time for
see
more,
next week.
More fun in the sun. That is the
it's
awesome
one.
Yeah, the Awesome Comics Podcast.
Plus, Dan Butcher will be back. We all know he's the real reason you listen to the show.